welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 49 on January 19th, 2022. That was right, yes. I'm Melanie.
And I'm Juliana. And as Mel said, it's a new year, so happy new year, everyone! Yay! Pew, 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 pew!
Technically, we had already one episode come out this year, but that one was recorded before the year ended, so this is our first recording in the new year, so happy new year!
Oh, hold on. Wow, okay, sorry.
Already tired by the year, okay.
I know, good lord. Regardless of whatever time and space we're in, we have a fabulous, fabulous guest this week. We have our friend, our patron, Anne.
Yes, hi!
Okay. Hi!
Hello, welcome, Anna!
So good to see you.
Quitos! Mina Ol and Juliana.
Wow!
Quitos!
You have studied Finnish. Wow!
I am doing Duolingo, thank you very much. Did you know that part of the basic parts of Duolingo, like the basic lessons, includes the word wizard? It's just there. You can say, like, Mina Olen wizard. Or I can't remember how to say wizard, but, like, you can say, I'm a wizard.
Taikuri is a wizard.
Oh, yeah, that sounds, yeah. Quitos! Okay. That's the one I remember the best.
What kind of a beginning is this? Okay, we have two German-speaking people on this podcast today. I'm excited.
Guten Tag, hallo.
Hallo.
Hallo, wie geht's dir?
Sehr gut, danke. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Anne, do you want to give us your fandom ID?
Yes, of course. So, my name is Anne. I'm a Hufflepuff all the way.
Woohoo!
And my Patronus is a St. Bernard's dog. My wand... Rowan Wood, 11 inches, and has a unicorn tail hair as a score.
We almost have the same wand.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I have Rowan unicorn hair core and 10 and 3/4 inches. So mine is a tiny bit shorter than yours, but it's almost the same.
Yeah, ooh. That's fun.
Anna, do you know the flexibility of your wand?
Mine is rigid.
Okay. Mine is very flexible in his flexibility.
Yes. See, that's where you guys differed, I think.
Yeah, it suits me because I'm a very rigid person and stick to my principles, so I feel it fits.
A stubborn wand for a stubborn person, in all the best ways, you know.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite food that is not pizza?
Pasta.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Ah, I love pasta. And would you like to tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so I am 30 years old. I live in Berlin, Germany, as you said. And I currently teach second graders at a private school in Berlin. And they are all bilingual. So shout out to my kiddos, to my second graders.
Will they be listening?
Some of them, probably.
Some of them? Do they speak English already?
Yes, yes. They all started in year one, yeah.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty fun though. Yeah, some of them already read the Harry Potter books in English.
Oh wow.
In second grade, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, they are my class, so obviously they're gonna be into Harry Potter.
Yeah, they're gonna be exposed whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I have the room decorated with Harry Potter. We do Harry Potter project days and stuff like that.
I remember that's you have fun. Mentioned this before. I think that you are possibly one of the very first people ever to actually listening to our podcast and commenting on our posts.
All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you're like literally the first comment we ever got on any one of our posts.
I think so too. So you have been listening to us for quite a while. It's quite special to have you actually on because we have mentioned Real Fishy many times.
A lot.
For those listeners, they might recognize the name, and that is Anne.
Yeah, you've been low-key part of the podcast the entire time, and we appreciate you.
Yeah. Aww,
thank you.
So we are really happy to have you here today and chat with us. But before we get to our main discussion, Juliana will lead us into the news.
Do-do-do-do-do-do! News! Welcome, listeners, to the whatever the heck time of day it is in your time zone news. We have some fabulous news this week. Mel, would you like to start us off with our first little piece of news, which I actually just discovered probably like 10 minutes before recording this?
Well, apparently we got a new still from the movie of Fantastic Beasts 3, and we have a fabulous shot of Newt and Theseus, which is underground where the...
Firebutt crab.
Possibly Firebutt crab. Manticore is after them, and Juliana's... Firebutt crab.
My little firebutt crab. Mel is going to regret every single moment she denied that it was the firebutt crab when we watch the movie and one of the little crabs while they're dancing goes and sits out a little bit of fire out of his butt, and I'm gonna die. I will just die in the theater. That will be it. Someone write me a eulogy right there. Juliana was right. She died in this seat. Congratulations.
All right. So back to the actual picture. Yeah, we have a picture here of Newt and Theseus. Both look fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the moment where they are coming across the little crabby creatures.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, I would assume you would have much more of a shock on your face if you see a gigantic manticore shooting its sting at you. So
I feel like this is a nice shot, but it's not really giving us anything new that we didn't have already.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I assume this might be the moment where they discover those and Newt is like, oh, take position. And then he does this.
Yeah. What little crab dance.
Yeah, what did they call it? Not swivel? Swivel?
Yeah, they called it swivel a bit.
Swivel, yeah.
Yeah.
And Theseus seems to look like, okay, what is this? And Newt kind of seems to have a smile emerging on his face.
Yeah, he's probably excited. Oh, I have encountered them once before.
Yeah.
But there is, I think, not much more to say, unfortunately. We can share the picture on our socials, of course, if you haven't seen it yet. It is making its round today as of recording on the 8th of January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe we just move on for now. What else do we have on our news?
Yeah, so we have some news from the people at LEGO, and they are introducing three new Harry Potter LEGO sets that will be coming to us in March.
Nice.
They are the Hogwarts Hospital Wing, and the Hogwarts Hospital Wing is going to cost about $50 in the US, and it's going to feature some figures from the Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban movie, including Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Madame Pomfrey, which I don't know if we've seen Madame Pomfrey in a LEGO set before.
I don't know. I do not remember seeing her, no. So this might be a first.
Yeah, I think so too. It's gonna be a first.
Nice. And it looks really cute.
You can actually build this onto the Hogwarts
castle. Oh, you can add it onto the...
So you can add it onto the big Lego castle.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
That was worth mentioning.
Yeah, for sure.
It grows, basically. So if they keep doing this, you might end up with like a gigantic Hogwarts castle.
I mean, the Hogwarts castle. Yeah. The Hogwarts castle on its own is, as far as I've seen, I don't own it, is humongous.
Yeah. You have parts of it, right?
Yeah. I have the big castle, and I also got the extensions, and it takes up a lot of space. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I need to move into a bigger apartment to fit it all.
Apparently.
Anna can see us on video. I have the Diagon Alley. You have it too.
Oh, yeah.
Right behind me here on the shelves. And I could not even fit all of them in one. I had to move one to the other shelf to be to able to place it. They're quite big, but it's really fun to put them together. So I think there's gonna be some stuff in here that is gonna be exciting for people to collect.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me is that like this part you can integrate into the castle pretty much directly, but the next things we're going to talk about technically should be part of the castle but don't like directly integrate into them. So it's just interesting that they made that choice and they've kind of formatted them in a different way, but we'll talk about that in a second. So the next thing that you can get is Divination Class, which is about $30, and it's going to include Professor Trelawney, which again, I don't think we've seen her, Harry Potter, and Parvati Patel, which I also don't think we've seen. The Divination Class, and then also the other set we're going to speak about, which is the Defense Against the Dark Arts Class, they are both in the same format that the four Hogwarts House books were in, where it's a classroom and you can fold it up and it looks like a book and you can just kind of put it on your shelf. I think you might have the...
Yeah, they are quite cute.
Yeah, I have all four of them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're so cute.
So it looks like this one, along with the Defense Against the Dark Arts class, which we'll talk about in a second, all fold up to be that same book format. And this one is fun. It's got a purple outside part that I think I would like. And it's kind of cool that we're going to get Trelawney and Parvati, which are characters that we haven't seen yet, I don't think, in the LEGO sets.
Yeah, we tend to get a lot of Hermione, Ron, Harry, the classics. But yeah, it's nice to see that there are a couple other ones in there. Mad-Eye, I have actually in my shelf, so he already exists in
figures. So the other one we're going to get is, they're calling it Defense Class. And this is the version of Defense Against the Dark Arts, like we mentioned, that has Mad-Eye Moody in it as the professor. And you're going to get Neville, Hermione, and Mad-Eye, which are all characters that we've had before.
Yeah, these books keep having characters that I haven't seen before either. So we have also in the Hogwarts House themed books, there is, for example, in the Hufflepuff, there is Professor Sprout, there's Neville, and there's Cedric in it.
Oh, okay.
We are getting a bit of more variety there. That is nice.
It looks like, as part of this defense class, the Mad-Eye Moody figure can be transformed into Barty Crouch Jr. by turning his head and replacing the hair, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I wonder if this is the same one that I already have, because mine can do the same, and it kind of looks the same also when I look at the pictures. And I got mine from these small little single figure bags that you don't know what's in there. Oh, yeah. It's these mystery bags.
Yeah, that's where I got my Myrtle. These are sets that we might want to get, so people keep your eyes peeled for those. So that is all we have for news updates, and then we just have some lovely feedback from some of our listeners. As we mentioned in the last episode, we did a live stream on Instagram talking about our reactions to the 20th anniversary special. Anna, I don't know if you wanted to share any brief thoughts that you had about watching the 20th anniversary special, because we have a note from Andre, but we'd like to hear if you have anything first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I watched it actually on the train going home from my mom back to Berlin, and I just loved it. It gave me this warm, cozy, cuddly feeling, and seeing all the actors together again was just amazing. And I loved their tribute that they paid to all the actors that passed away. I loved Robbie Coltrane, Emma Watson, the whole crowd. Helena Bonham Carter was hilarious as always.
She was great.
Oh my god, she was my favorite part.
Yeah.
It was the same for us. We pretty much loved it. I'm not sure if I've mentioned it only in the live stream, but I actually had to take like 10 minutes after. We watched it with friends together, Juliana and me. And I needed like 10 minutes after that to just cry my eyes out for a moment from all the nostalgia and the feelings.
We are Hufflepuffs.
Yeah, the stories just mean so much to us. And
yeah,
it evoke a lot of emotions. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but we did also get a response from Andre in regards to our live stream and what he thought about the 20th anniversary special. And Andre said, I liked the meeting, but it wasn't what I expected. And by the meeting, he means the special. I saw the reaction of many fans. They were just crying. I was wondering if I have a cold heart or if others weren't moved in that way. Of course, some parts were touching, from Hagrid's speech, not about being here in 50 years, and when the actors who have passed away were shown. As much as I think they've built bonds, I couldn't feel a real bond of friendship between the trio. I only saw it with Tom Felton and Emma, which, yeah, definitely, and maybe him with Matthew Lewis, who played Neville. What frustrated me the most was not being able to follow backstage stories, as Juliana mentioned, and having the most of the show boiled down to movie flashbacks. There were 70% flashbacks in the scenes that we've already seen. Lots of pictures and scenes that were posted by HBO didn't show up, or at least I think I missed them. But the highlight for me was Helena. How wonderful is this woman? And I agree with Andre. I was kind of expecting a little bit more behind the scenes stuff than they gave us, because he's right. A lot of the stuff that they show we've already seen before as from other things. So they didn't really give us that much. So, I mean, I definitely cried and Mel definitely cried. And Andre, maybe you have a cold heart. But
oh. Well, he lives in Brazil. It's very warm in Brazil, so
I mean, you have to cool off somehow. If your AC is broken, just tap into that cold heart and feel the cold rush over you. And yeah, but I definitely agree with the fact that I would have wanted more behind the scenes stuff that was new and not stuff we've seen before. That would have been great. And yes, Helena Bonham Carter was my favorite part too. She's bringing that great chaotic energy. She's bringing those nasty old teeth. She's bringing notes for Dan. And I loved it.
Yeah, she's kind of a loose cannon, but that's why I love her.
Yeah, I love her. Never know what to expect when she's around.
It was a shame that they didn't show more backstage material because they said already that they do have it. I wonder why they hold it back. Like, come on, it's been 20 years, finally release it.
Yeah, this would have been a moment where they could have shown more.
Because I wonder if it's more of like a money licensing thing, but honestly, if they want to make a quick buck, all they got to do is compile all the deleted scenes and blooper reels and like put it up on HBO for like $10 or $20 to buy it, because you know that almost everyone in the Harry Potter world, is, if they had like 2 hours of bloopers and deleted scenes, that we would all head over there and purchase it like immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if it is because they were kids back then, if it is also a legal issue with, like, and if they want to protect them as kids, maybe.
Yeah, maybe there's just too many kids involved at that point, and they would just have to get so many permissions that it would just be really challenging. I don't know. Regardless, we loved the special, and Andre, thank you for your feedback, and Anna, thank you for your feedback as well.
Yeah.
So, towards the end of the year now, Juliana had made a little video on Instagram, actually. I think you shared it on only Instagram. It gave us a bit of a look back of our year, all the guests we had on and fun moments, and it was really sweet. And we got lots of comments throughout that week from our listeners and friends about the podcast. So, I thought we can read some of those.
Yeah.
For example, our friend Ellie from ProtagoCast or Protego Foundation said to us, "I am so grateful to have met you both this year." And that was probably the sweetest one we have gotten because that really felt like a warm hug.
Yeah, we loved getting to know you as well, Ellie. And listeners, if you haven't already, our episode with ProtagoCast should be out right now. So go ahead and head over to their feed and listen to our episode we recorded with them about house activism, which was really fun.
Yeah. Jeff thought we had an amazing year.
Yay!
Which I agree in that regard. Yeah, our podcast had a great year.
Yeah. And then we had Ryan, who said, "Driving to hug some cows. No better podcast for the drive than Puffcast." And to that I say, "Quitos!" Which means thank you.
Then we had also John Campling, our favorite Death Eater, sending us a message saying, "Congratulations on a fantastic year, everyone. I can't wait to come back and do a few songs in 22. Yeah. So look forward to that. We have had this in our mind since the day that he recorded with us the first episode.
Yeah. So we'll have John back and he'll do a mini concert at some point.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. We also had some responses to episode 48, which was the episode we had Luke from the Hogwarts Trivia Tournament on. And wow. We got some really nice positive feedback from this.
No, it was a good episode. You did a good job.
And Luke was just so fun. I feel like him and I had a good chemistry. And we've been chatting, obviously, since. And I'm really excited because as of recording this right now, we're going to have him on a live stream tomorrow. So listeners, if you missed that, go ahead and head back over to our Instagram and you can watch our live Q&A with Luke. Look forward to that. But I think my favorite response, Mel, that we got came from Luke's dad. Oh my god. How cute.
He posted on his own socials saying, "I have a long night drive, so what better way to listen to my boy Luke on the podcast Puffcast. Great pod, guys." So it was really sweet that he was showing support. There's one picture of him and Luke next to each other.
Yeah, they're like twins.
They look exactly the same. It's so cute.
It's adorable. And then we had a lovely comment from Alex, who is the Preppy Witch on Instagram, and she said, "I'm about halfway through listening to your episode with Luke, and it's really good! Oh, my goodness."
That's nice.
Yeah. And then we had Tom, who is at Hotties of Hogwarts on Instagram, who has just been a joy to chat with the last couple of days personally. He said, "I had to drive to the office today, and I listened to the new podcast episode with Luke. Ah! It's so good! It was so awesome. It was so natural and easy with you two, like you've been friends for years, just playing catch up." And that's such a huge compliment. So thank you, Tom, for that.
Yeah, and also thank you for all the support that you are showing, because you have gotten messages from both of us individually, but It's just so nice that there are people out there who just look for other creators and just throw out their name there so that more people get to see them if they haven't discovered them yet. So thank you so much for doing that. It's so nice. There's such a vast amount of Potter accounts on Instagram.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And some of them have like a bazillion followers and it's really hard to compete with that.
Yeah.
I actually myself have in the last week or two been trying to go through a lot of accounts just to see who is out there, and there's so many really beautiful pictures that people take and put so much time and effort into, but they have barely any followers. So I tried to go around a little bit and
share some love.
Yeah, Tom, you were the inspiration for that, actually, because you show such support that I was reminded that, I should not forget to do that myself and just go around and give people a follow and tell them what a good job they do. So.
Oh, I love doing that. That Mel knows that I am like the person who goes around and I like everyone. I share everyone's stuff. If I like something, I share it. I am chronically that person who is commenting. If something looks cool, I will leave you like 5 hearts and I like, oh my God, this is great.
Then we also had a new 5-star review, Juliana.
Yay!
That comes from Dave's Test Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave writes, "It's like having friends. Juliana and Mel always bring such a warm and welcoming banter that I can imagine we are all just hanging out in the Hufflepuff common room together. I enjoy their special segments, especially when it involves Juliana trying to pronounce a German word or finding out that Melanie has fooled me again by puffing with me." You're welcome.
Kitos. I'm just going to say that a lot.
It's Juliana's favorite word now.
It's the word that's sticking the most with me with my Finnish that I'm learning.
It's a very important word. You have to use it a lot. It's hey, moi, which is both saying hello, or it's kitos. Thank you. So kitos to you, Dave. That is very nice of you to say. And that's exactly what we are trying to do. Make you feel like you're just sitting with us together and having a nice chat. And if we can make you laugh in the process, then That's great.
That's a win. So. Yeah, and Dave, if you would like a sticker, please reach out to us on our social medias and I will get you a podcast sticker if you'd like.
Yeah.
A few other notes before we head on into the main discussion, things that Mel and I are up to. Again, go ahead and check out our live stream we did with Luke on our Instagram if you'd like to get more behind the scenes information with him.
I bet that was fun.
Yeah, I'm sure we had a lot of fun. And then, again, you can listen to our episode of PotagoCast that came out on January 12th about house activism, so that is on their feed. And then Mel is going to be on the Geek Speak podcast that she's recording later today. So we will find out a date as to when that is going to be released, but go check out Mel's very first solo podcast appearance that I am very proud of her.
Woohoo!
Don't make me nervous.
She killed it. We already listened to it. Like, this is in the future. So Mel killed it. She did a great job. I'm so proud of her for doing it already.
I will still find out. But we are going to talk about Harry Potter. That is the most I know so far.
Yeah.
The rest I will find out as soon as we start recording, I guess.
Well, Mel, just from being your co-host and your best friend, I can definitely say, without a doubt, that you can speak for a long amount of time about Harry Potter. So I have a strong amount of confidence in you.
Yeah, so go check that out. Shout out to Ryan and Crystal. I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys later. Hello, everyone. Just a quick update on the episode's releases. The PotagoCast episode was number 8 of season 2 and was called House Activism, which came out on the 5th of January. And the Geek Speak podcast episode that I was a guest on is named after me and was episode 42. So that came out on the 14th, so you should be able to go and listen to this right now and check it out. Leave them all some love.
Okay. Do 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 do. Thank you for joining us for the news. Okay, so listeners, what we are going to do today as our main discussion is we have the lovely Anne with us. We're going to learn a little bit more about her, where she came from, what she does, things that are generally Anna related, and then we will be talking about Fantastic Beasts 3 and any theories and thoughts that we have, because Mel and I did a kind of solo slash together recording of the pre-trailer and the trailer, and we actually haven't been able to talk about our reactions and theories in depth yet. So this will be really fun, especially since we're going to get some feedback from Anna as well. So to start us off, Anna, would you like to just tell us about where you found Harry Potter and how you originally got into the fandom?
Yeah, it's all thanks to my mom. Like, we went on vacation, so my mom was looking for a long book to read for me every night because she didn't want to carry several books at once. And the lady in the bookstore recommended Harry Potter to her in 1998 when it was just released in Germany. So I'm basically one of the members of the early fandom.
Me too. Ooh.
Yeah, and then we always went to the premieres of the movies. I never went to a midnight release or anything because I was still too young.
Yeah, same. My mom would never bring me because she was like, we are not going at midnight.
You have grown up in Berlin, right?
No, actually in Saxony-Anhalt, in a very small town. I moved to Berlin because of work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there also weren't any book parties or anything. We only had like breakfast deliveries where they delivered the books till 9 a.m. If they were later, you would have no charge for the book. And they always delivered it with a candy bar. So I always grabbed the parcel with a book and dashed to my room. And my brother got the candy bar. And no one was allowed to touch the book before I was finished.
Oh, how sweet.
Interesting.
I mean, I always feel like that's such an American thing, and in the UK also, that you have these midnight releases and people are lining up to get the book and see the movies. And I come from a very small place myself in Germany, and they never had anything like that at all. So I'm always a bit envious about that everyone had these kind of experiences, but I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny, too, because even in, like, the smaller places around the U.S. when the books were coming out, I remember every single bookstore around me was doing something for the midnight releases. Interesting that you guys had, like, literally nothing.
Yeah, the other thing was you could also order the books for midnight, but kids weren't allowed to sign for them. And my mom wanted me to actually take the parcel, so that's why we always stuck with the breakfast delivery. And I was okay with that. I was always into Harry Potter. I read the books in German first.
Me too.
I did not.
When I did my au pair year in Alaska in 2010.
Ooh, Alaska.
Yeah, I rescued a used copy of the first book and read the books in English for the first time and got hooked back into Harry Potter again.
Well, thank you for doing the noble job of rescuing the book.
Yeah.
Are you now reading them only in English or still also in German?
Only in English now.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay.
I read them the first time around like once or twice in German, and now I am only reading them in English, and I do not even remember what the German translations are for places and people. So if I have a German friend talking to me, oh yeah, Lingusterweg, what place is that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So, Anne, have you had any breaks in your involvement in the fandom, or has it just been like a continuous thing throughout your entire life?
Yeah, I mean, before I went to Alaska, I was pretty much only in the German part of the fandom because my English wasn't that fluent yet. And then around 2010, 2015, I started to be more active on socials and discovering various Harry Potter podcasts and everything
Puffcast.
Around yeah Puffcast of course and that's when I got more active in the fandom. And also because my best friend, she's also a huge Harry Potter fan, and we saw the first Fantastic Beasts on opening weekend.
Probably
want to watch the third one too.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
How did you actually find Puffcast?
It was suggested to me on Instagram, actually.
Oh. Really?
It simply showed up in my feed. Yeah.
Ha ha. There we were.
And I was like, oh, Puffcast, yay, that sounds perfect. A podcast all Hufflepuff related. That's my jam.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Instagram is doing some advertising for us unbeknownst to us. So thank you for that, Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And you said that you implement some Harry Potter things into your teaching routine as a teacher. Is there something that you've done that sticks out in your head that the kids really reacted to well? Or you were like, yeah, that was a really fun thing that I did that was Harry Potter related.
Yeah, I have another colleague. She's also named Anne. And we actually did 3 project days together with my former class. And we did like the whole thing. Like they got their Hogwarts letter. They had to go shopping in Diagon Alley. Then we had like various lessons and aww, we played Quidditch. And of course we had a leaving feast with house points and the house cup and everything. That was really fun.
Who won the house cup?
Hufflepuff.
Yay! Of course! First or nothing!
Yeah. Yeah, they actually still have the trophy in their new classroom. They took out the sample.
Nice.
With my current class, I dressed up as McGonagall for International Book Day.
Yes. Yes, you did. You shared a picture of that with us, which is very nice.
Yeah, and they immediately were like smiling when they saw me. And we completely spent the whole day with me being in character as McGonagall. And obviously, oh, wow. I also had a tin can with biscuits.
Do you do a good Scottish accent?
Is it true that you shouted at Professor Umbridge, Potter?
Oh, that's pretty good. That's way better that than I could ever do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
And in art class, we apparate now when we line up.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah, that's a thing my other colleague came up to. Like, we were talking about drawing perspective with vanishing points, and she added in Dobby this apparating in her PowerPoint, and then the kids were like, oh, can we apparate?
You're like, of course we can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really fun. I feel like this is the classroom that I would have loved to grow up in as a kid.
Yeah, me too.
They are currently building the Lego Harry Potter set with Encountering Fluffy.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's one I don't have. What we are also going to talk about, Anne, is Fantastic Beasts. Like you said, you got introduced to this because you and your friend went to see the movie together. We just want to get a gauge on how you're feeling about Fantastic Beasts right now. So what is your general outlook on the movies and your opinions of the first two movies? I'm assuming that you're excited for the third one, given the topic we're going to talk about.
Yes. I mean, I loved the first one very much. It was like getting all this cozy, warm feeling back and returning to the wizarding world was like what we've been waiting for so long.
Yeah.
I was a bit baffled and confused after the second one because it doesn't really make much sense to me. But I think in good company in this fandom there's a lot of people saying.
Yeah, I was also kind of confused.
I look forward to Fantastic Beasts 3, but I'm also a bit worried that they might retcon the original material even more.
Yeah, we're going to be breaking a few rules here, I think, with this next movie. But I guess if it's all in good fun.
Yeah, and I feel like if they can justify it, that's fine. Like, I have no problem with McGonagall being there early on.
Yeah.
Always give me McGonagall earlier. That's fine.
Okay, so what we are actually going to talk about today is theories that we have about the Fantastic Beasts 3 movie. So Mel and I have mentioned a few of these. I know I've been on our social media and I've mentioned a few. And I mean, we could just come straight out the gate and say that Juliana's top theory right now is Goderforth.
Alarm. Please proceed with caution.
Credence is a Dumbledore because he's the son of Aberforth and a goat.
Okay.
I think that that's correct.
Thoughts,
feelings? Is Juliana correct? Yes, she
is. As I commented in the doc already. No.
What? Is that too crazy for you, Mel? If a goat and a human being have a child, then you have to know it's going to be a screwed up child. And is Credence a screwed up child? Yes, he is. I think that this all checks out. I think we're good. That is how it's a basilisk situation. You know how, like, when you create a basilisk, it's weird.
I guess if we can have a wizard and a giantess together producing a Hagrid, I cannot say it, Juliana. I can't. I just know. It's not no.
Yes.
I don't like it.
It explains why he is a Dumbledore.
Yeah, I doubt it too, but I mean, it would explain the inappropriate charms Aberforth practiced on a goat.
Uh-huh.
So who knows?
Exactly. This explains a lot of things. If we just all accept that Juliana is correct, I stand by this.
Do you want to move to your other one that I say no to?
Well, I mean, we already talked about this one, but the firebutt crab. The firebutt crab is it's clearly in the trailer. It's right there. They're doing the firebutt crab shuffle across the ledge. And these are the two hills that I will die on.
I will make sure to bring you a couple of treats and, you know, something to drink every now and then, because you're going to be very lonely up on those hills.
I'm sure at least one person out there will join me. If you also stan Goderforth, shout me out. I might send you a friendship bracelet.
Do you want to introduce some of your theories that you have either found or made up yourself?
Yeah, I looked at my article that I wrote for Leaky back in the days after movie 2 and found a few of my theories back then.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at the name origins of Aurelius. It means gold, and Ariana funnily means silver, so that could fit together in one way, and credence means belief or truth.
Mm-hmm.
How does this, like, fit into the storyline? I understand that Aurelius is kind of supposed to be gold, and possibly he's, like, the golden child, maybe, but I don't know. I feel like the direction that the third movie is going in, it's not framing Credence as the golden child anymore. The first movie definitely did. I feel like we were heading in that direction where everyone was like, Credence is the person that is going to change everything, and then the second movie, everyone was chasing him. This movie seems, like, obviously way more, like, Dumbledore, Grindelwald-centric, yeah, as opposed to, let's keep chasing Credence and make sure that he is okay. Credence seems to be slightly more of an afterthought for this movie, which does not discount the fact that they named him Credence at the first movie when he was, technically speaking, the center of attention. But what do you think going into this third movie, how does this stand up, you think? Do you think it really is going to give us any more information that we already have or really play a part? Or is it just something that was a nice little, like, yay from the first movie?
It could very well be a hint to the backstory of alchemy that is also brought in to the series. Yeah. Like, we have Flamel with the philosopher/sorcerer's stone.
There was something about the gold and silver, and there was something else that I cannot remember right now, but that it has something to do with alchemy, and that Nicolas Flamel is gonna be somehow involved in that. And who knows if that has something to do with the Obscurus and extracting that from him with Ariana and hers. And
I mean, it could be a hint that Credence is carrying the Obscurus that was Ariana, maybe.
Yeah, like he's like the upgraded version of her, because she's the silver version and he's the gold version, so we want the nice shiny gold version. She's the...
Then who was the bronze version?
Aberforth!
Yes. Also, Dumbledore discovered the 12 uses of dragon's blood. We don't have any of those yet. So I'm pretty sure that this will come into play one way or another during the series.
Really?
Maybe in destroying the blood pact or, saving Credence.
See, I feel like that is too much of a deep cut for these movies now, because with this coming movie and my vibes going off the trailer, a lot more generalized to the more general Harry Potter fan who, unlike you, me, and Mel, wouldn't make these, like, deep cut connections. I feel like we're going to get some of that.
We are going to get the story of how Dumbledore became who he is and what happened with him in Grindelwald. And I really, really hope we are going to see Ariana and her story, because that is something I think that fans are waiting for and they would love to see. Going into some direction like that, that would be really interesting, and I could actually see this happening.
It's a possibility. I'm just here to kind of play devil's advocate in a way, you
Anything
know?
Is possible.
If you got enough nerve.
Yes. All it takes is a little bit of pixie dust, too. Other theories that you have, I'm just looking at the theories that you wrote in the doc, and you think that Bunty could possibly be a spy for Dumbledore. Would you like to explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I rewatched the movie just a couple of weeks ago, and what struck me was when we see the newspaper where the article is about Newt marrying Leda when she's actually engaged to Theseus. We see Bunty hiding in a corner, and also the whole time when she assists Newt, he like asks her 3 times to go, but she still stays. So she might just be staying there to help him and protect him on orders of Dumbledore, and we know that she is in love with Newt.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I think she just don't want to leave because she wants to
breathe his air, smell him.
Especially after he comes out of the water with the Kelpie, and she's like, maybe you should take off your clothes. He's yeah. like, oh, I'm fine. And she's just waiting around to possibly catch a glimpse of him.
Yeah.
So that she's in that picture. Yeah, I think we had been discussing this in another place somewhere together.
At some point.
It did look suspicious that she was standing in the background. And I think we might have had the idea as well that she might be a little bit up to something. But it kind of makes sense that she's there because she is his assistant and helping with all the creatures and the care of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of being in the background, like secretly in love with him and not even then wanting to leave his side. It's gonna be interesting to see her in the next movie because we now definitely know that she's gonna be there.
Yeah,
and
totally.
What role she's gonna play.
Yeah, it also looks like she's playing a much more important role this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't put it out of the picture for Dumbledore to say to her, like, hey, keep an eye on Newt just to be sure. And
I find that believable.
So you call her a spy for Dumbledore, meaning that she's spying on Newt?
Yeah, like what he's up to.
And reporting back to Dumbledore.
Yeah, and contacting him like, hey, he went off with the Nifflers to Paris, for example.
We will consider it.
Yeah.
Mel's like, no, she just loves him.
I don't know. I just feel like that, yeah, it could be. Just the word spy feels so negative, and I feel like she is, at least so far, struck me as a very sweet, very caring person that is just head over heels in love with Newt, but doesn't dare to admit it yet. And then all these rumors about him being married to Leda and having a crush on Tina and...
And she's like, I refuse to believe this reality. I am married to Newt Scamander.
Maybe she's gonna come up with some magic that makes him fall in love back with her. And
you know, I see this being a very good polyamorous relationship between Tina, Newt, and Bunty together. I mean, Tina and Bunty obviously put out very different energies, but I feel like the three of them together could work as a throuple.
Oh, yeah.
In a fan fiction, yes.
Yeah. Someone write us that.
In the actual stories, I think Tina would have very much something against that.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Then he would also pay more attention to Bunty, but he seems like not to. He's just leaving her notes like, oh, I'm going here. He doesn't even take the time to say that personally to her that he's leaving.
That's
he just leaves her a note and instructions on what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel that's totally in Newt's character. Like, he doesn't strike me like the person that is very amorous and writes love letters or stuff like that or expresses his feeling.
We know that he is very uncomfortable in social situations with humans. He's much more comfortable with his beasts. So that kind of is on brand for him as well, I think.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the way that Eddie Redmayne plays him as someone who is on the autism spectrum. And generally speaking, people who are somewhere on the autism spectrum are missing their ability to sense some or all of social cues and social norms and things like that. And this definitely falls into that. But I just think it's because Newt is such a positive character. It's good to get some positive representation of people who are like that as well, too. And I appreciate that as part of the series, too.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah.
Definitely love that. But this is a controversial take that you have, Anne. You say Queenie is not being enchanted or bewitched by a dark force, even though I call her Dark Queenie in this trailer, because she is fabulous. She is serving looks. She is looking hot in that black dress. Mel and I both realized her face looks kind of funny in that scene where her and Jacob are hugging, and it definitely kind of looks like it's either a flashback or something real weird is happening.
I'm still feeling like there was a different actress, and she wasn't not able to come on set, so they just digitally put her face on the actress. At least in that shot, it might just be that one particular shot, but it just looks a little bit out of place and strange.
Yeah.
You mean Dark Queenie?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It looks very strange. Let me explain. We see the teapot nudging her, and we see Queenie refuse, and when Grindelwald enters the room, she does raise her wand, like she wants to attack him, and I doubt that she could do that if she was already enchanted, and we don't see her drinking tea afterwards. So if she had drank the tea, it would be before that. Mm-hmm. Also, when she walks through the fire, we see that other guy, like, being destroyed by the fire because he's not truly loyal. And when Queenie walks through, she doesn't walk through painless. She doesn't get destroyed, but it's a mix, which to me shows her conflicted feelings, that she sees Grindelwald as her escape and way to get together with Jacob. And to me, she simply is persuaded and just really desperate for some reason.
Yeah.
I think that since Grindelwald has a really good way about words.
Mm-hmm. He's very charismatic, very suave.
He knows exactly what to say, yeah. And he finds the right words for Queenie to convince her that, yeah, you are going to get what you want, but you have to follow me first and help me get there.
Mm-hmm.
And her will is so strong, and what she her wish is so strong that she's following him through. I think that there might be a little bit of manipulation on her mind, like not with any potions or anything, but just the power that Grindelwald holds over his followers and people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his persuasion. Yeah, totally. Yeah. She is already off in the beginning of the movie, like when she puts the love spell on Jacob and enchants him and basically kidnaps him and brings him to London. And that is before she encounters Grindelwald.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So there must be something off before why she does it. Yeah.
You also made the point that Mel and I have talked about, but where do you think Tina is?
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like she's maybe a prisoner, that Grindelwald maybe caught her.
Mmm, possibly. Queenie helped him find her, and she's locked up in the basement. And movie four will be all about Tina. It will be the Tina show. After all the credits roll, we'll get an after-credit scene of Tina breaking out of a wizard prison and her being like, I'm going to get back at that. Meh.
Beep.
Mel goats me out here. Yeah, I think movie four is going to be just Tina.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts 4, Revenge of Tina.
Tina takes the town.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. I doubt that Queenie knows that Tina is there, because I feel like that would draw her back to the good side if she knows Grindelwald harms her sister.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the plot of the movie, that she finds out he has her sister and that ultimately brings her back.
What if he is using the fact that he has Tina to kind of manipulate Queenie even further, being like, well, I'll get you what you want, but I also have your sister being held hostage, so if you do anything stupid, I'm going to do something mean to her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does know that they are sisters because he has been in the ministry for quite a while and had interactions, close interactions with Tina, and he would definitely know Queenie and what she is capable of doing.
Yeah, Colin Farrell version knows her very well.
Yeah, so I'm still thinking that there must be some kind of control over Queenie in that way, that persuading her by words. And you could be right that maybe Tina is somehow caught by him and she's trying to protect her by just following whatever he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she could have everything. She could have her sister, she could have Jacob and just be finally happy and... Yeah.
Oh, Queenie.
Or she's on an undercover mission away from the team.
For Dumbledore, and that's why we don't see her, because she must leave already very early on in the movie, because we see them going into the castle, and she's already not there anymore, but she has been on the bridge.
Yeah.
I think she's going to get, a hippogriff is going to swoop down, pick her up, and chuck her off the edge of the bridge. And that's the end. That's the whole story arc for her. It's just that she just unfortunately passed away traumatically.
That's terrible.
But also we know that Newt and Tina get married in the end.
Exactly. It can't be the end for her. She has to come back.
Yeah, so they both are safe, regardless, Newt and Tina, unless they...
Unless they retcon that, which they could.
The rest, on the other hand, all can die, possibly.
Yes.
Even our friend Jacob, which you think, Anna, he's marked for death. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yes. When we see Jacob going down to the basement where all the beasts are, we have mm-hmm. a shot of him standing and there's an augury in the back of him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into the Fantastic Beasts description, augury cries are connected with death and mourning.
But that is also just a saying.
Yeah, it's more of like a piece of lore that goes to the Wizarding World.
And they are kind of like crying because it's weather related, that mm-hmm. it's gonna become rainy or something.
Yeah, so Delphi from Cursed Child has a giant augury on her back for a stupid reason, actually, because she didn't really fully read through her textbooks.
What? I suddenly turned deaf. Cursed Child? What is that?
Hey, I don't like the storyline for Cursed Child, but I like the play, yeah. So...
Yeah, I haven't seen the play yet. I still have to reschedule my tickets.
Yeah, anyone who's seen the play will understand that you go into the play, you ignore the storyline, and you just take it in.
Yep.
So what makes you think that Jacob might be magical?
I mean, the thing that he gets a wand, for me it doesn't make much sense that he just gets a stick as a prop.
I have plenty of stick props.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense for him as a protection, because... everybody on Grindelwald's side knows he's a muggle.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't serve any security purpose for him.
You could poke someone's eyes out.
Yeah, but you can do that with your regular hand too, and with other stuff. You don't need to have a toy wand.
I would be thinking that Dumbledore would also believe that the wand has to choose the wizard.
Yeah. Because
that's just a thing in the wizarding world. That's how it works. So yeah. Dumbledore providing him with this particular wand and not giving him any choice of choosing one for himself if he would be magical, that just makes me think that he keeps being a muggle, and I hope he's gonna stay a muggle.
Yeah,
and he's just in some way supposed to protect this wand, keep it like in his pocket, because no one would expect him to have one. Or that I think Juliana was the one who said that there might be some kind of spell that can be activated or something.
Like a preloaded wand?
Yeah, when he's encountering Queenie, because we see mm-hmm. him in the trailer having the wand in his hand and trying to raise it.
Yeah, and he's holding it real funky.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to
he's not used to holding a wand, so...
Wearing a wand? Where do you wear a wand, Mel? Do you stick it between your butt cheeks?
English.
Do you put it between your nose right here?
I'm gonna curse you soon with my wand. You know, you just have to find a way of how you are comfortable with holding your wand first. And he's not used to that. And also, every wand is shaped differently, so... even if you are used to wands, you would probably feel a bit uncomfortable holding a different one because they all have a different shape in your hand.
Mm. And he has a very, like, windy, squealy wand. The wand's a little bit squiggly.
I feel like also we know Dumbledore is of knowledge in the field of wand lore, so I wouldn't put it past him to make a wand for Jacob. Because they simply can't go to Diagon Alley and buy one because it's too suspicious and too dangerous. And on the other hand, we see Jacob waving it around in the Great Hall and showing it to all the kids, so he's not actually secretive about it.
That's true.
If there are such a thing as preloaded one, because then why doesn't Filch or Mrs. Fig have one?
I have no idea. She could.
You can bewitch things, for example, the necklace that he and Grindelwald have with whatever kind of magic they have produced with the bond that holds them, that they can't harm each other. Then you have the cloak, for example, or the resurrection stone. They can all be...
or the necklace that kills you when you put it on.
Yeah, so you can put spells on things, and I would imagine that you might be able to do that on a wand as well. Maybe it's not a regular wand. Maybe it's just supposed to look like one, or there are so many things that it could be. It could also be a fake wand without a core or anything and just make looked fancy and make Jacob believe that it's a real wand and he has more confidence, just like Hermione does this drink thing with Ron before the big Quidditch game and he believes that, it was Felix Felicis.
Yeah.
He believes he's so lucky right now and it's just like a confident boost.
Yeah, the wand actually has a electronic core and Dumbledore is sitting there in his office playing with like a little remote control being like beep beep boop 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 boop.
And we know that doesn't work with magic. It's not possible.
There has to be some magical form of electricity. I mean, come on. These people can't not have some format that is the same as electricity.
Yeah, but this would mean that he has some kind of...
Maybe he's Crucio'd the wood. But this is magic
the network, mail. I mean...
It's the magical network. It's the network of magic. If they can do half the stuff they do in these books, I think that he can remotely control a piece of wood from miles away.
Wands are sentient and they choose their wizard and have basically an intelligence of their own, as we know. So that's why I'm not sure how much you can influence and guide them. So
that's why I'm saying it might be a fake one.
It's empty.
Yeah.
It's a soulless wand.
That doesn't make sense for me.
None of it makes sense. We don't know anything.
All the theories are like literally have the same validity of crap.
But that's the fun part about it right now. The time that we have right now before April, that we can come up with all the nonsense that we want and it could all be true in some way, and then it's probably not. Because 99% of what we are saying is probably not true.
Yeah, coming back to my theory that Jacob is going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's where we started.
Yeah, again, we have the hint with the augury, and also he's the only muggle, so he's the most vulnerable. And we see in the Potter series that JK has a habit of punishing her characters for bad choices, and killing off Jacob would be devastating for Queenie.
Yeah, it would be Queenie's punishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I always thought that Jacob is for sure the one that is definitely going to die. Because I think since we all can probably relate to him the most because he is all of us, he's the muggle in the story, his death is going to be the hardest to watch.
Which is why they probably do it.
I don't want to see these movies without Dan Fogler, because Dan Fogler is the best part. He's the funniest part.
At the very end, they're going to keep him until the end, and he's one of the last ones, and he is going to die.
What if, Mel, he comes back as an Ilvermorny ghost? Because he is like the equivalent of the Fat Friar. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Jay, you're watching a theory unfold in real time, people. So, what's going to happen is Jacob will die, but he's going to die in movie 4 out of 5, so that way we get a good amount of him. He's not going to die in this movie. And what's going to happen is he's going to be the new version of the Fat Friar for Ilvermorny. And he's just going to walk around, and he's taking all of his inspiration from Jeff, specifically. And he's just going to run around and going, like, my self-esteem! And my self-esteem! And the whole time.
No.
And just making little goodies and handing out ghostly pastries to people. And walking around trying to, like, eat pastries, being like, ah, I can't taste them. Ah, I can't taste them, because he can't. And his head goes right through them. And, okay, Jacob will be a ghost.
Or... Or he simply is going to be killed by Grindelwald, and that is the turning point for Queenie where she realizes, crap, what have I done? Now I lost the love of my life. That's all I worked towards to, and now the guy that pretended to make it work for us has actually killed him.
Dun dun dun.
Now all my anger is going towards him, and I'm gonna kill him by myself, and she might actually die in the process herself as well. And then she will be reunited with him as ghosts in Ilvermorny, trying to eat cupcakes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that could be a possibility. That might be a turning point for her to realize that, wait a moment, what have I done? Let me go back and try to fix things as much as I can, and rejoins the others.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so good.
I feel like if someone made a movie of all the theories that we have created thus far, wow, what a wild ride you would be taking on.
I can't wait for the day that we look back on our own theories and think, my God, how stupid we are.
I think what I'd like to do in maybe next year, Mel, we'll look back on these, and when we reflect on the things we did right, I would like to create like a video of myself doing a skit, putting our theories in order, and then me doing a skit.
Okay.
So we have some kind of reenactment of what this movie could have looked like if it had happened according to our theories.
Good luck with that, because we had a lot already so far.
I know, it's going to be a complex. I'm going to need multiple, like, either wigs or hats that
start
I can wear.
Start keeping track now.
Yeah. Or if a listener wants to create a movie for us out of the theories that we've done, I will play all the roles. Now, Mel, you have a theory that you wanted to share with all of us. So what is your theory in reaction to the trailer? Lay it on us. Let us hear it.
Okay. Mine is a bit more of a silly theory.
I mean, that's fine with me.
I fell into it and I couldn't stop myself, so I wrote a little bit something down. So we have the whole suitcase situation, where we see in the trailer several of them having a suitcase by their side that looks like Newt's, and they're all over the place with these suitcases. So here's my idea. What if Grindelwald had a fancy for good pastries and bread, and he got a taste of Jacob's special bread? He loved it so much, he needs the recipe. Since this was created by Jacob's grandma and is his most prized possession and family secret, this needs to be kept safe at all costs. Grindelwald naturally wouldn't take a no for an answer from a muggle and hunts him down, destroying everything in his path. And he screams, "The hunt for the muggle bread starts today!" He is really, really hungry, in my theory.
Yeah, he probably hasn't eaten in weeks at this point.
Yes. And this, in my opinion, is proof that Grindy is German, in fact, because I can relate, and maybe Anna can too, because bread is great, and we love bread.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, I actually finish your thing, and then I'll tell you what my problem with your theory is, Mel.
So each of our heroes gets a suitcase. They team up with Dumbledore, who thinks this might be a great fun. They jump into the Tibetan prayer wheel, transport them to different countries, and distract Grindy's followers, while Newt, with the last precious loaf of bread in his arms — it is not a creature, it is actually a loaf of bread — and the original recipe in his suitcase, which is guarded by the Niffler inside, of course. What better security could you ask for? And he runs to the safest location, a place yet unknown to us, but Tina will be waiting there to greet him. To keep Jacob's life's work safe forever. And I just added that I might actually have to join Grindelwald's side here, because I love bread too and I want to have that recipe, so I'm sorry.
Okay, so here's my one flaw in your theory, Mel.
Okay.
It seems like Grindelwald, his favorite food has to be bread in this situation, right?
Yes.
And you have mentioned to me that, again, that bread is a very, like, German thing to like. But I feel like, from what I know about you and from what I've learned about Germans, the most German thing to like is potatoes.
That too. It could be a potato bread.
Okay, if it's a potato bread, this checks out. That's fine with me. I can accept this theory 100%.
See, okay. It's a solid theory.
Okay, we're good. Everything is fine. The lack of potatoes was really bothering me. I could not get fat. Like,
it is bread and potatoes.
Yeah, the fact that Grindelwald would go after just bread, no. There had to be potatoes.
Since we are talking about Jacob, though, I went only with bread in that specific theory right now, but we can make a potato bread out of it. So that,
unless Jacob is the one and only owner of the potato of all good things, the potato,
the golden potato.
It produces an elixir of everlasting mashed potatoes and tasty potato dishes. You just tap it and then it produces potato dishes, potato breads, scalloped potatoes, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, all the potatoes. And all the Germans come and they say, "Aha, we love potatoes." And then Grindelwald says, "But I love potatoes the most. I must have the golden potato of all things that are good and well in the world. It is mine. I will make it mine. And I will eat potatoes until I die. Which will be never, so I will just eat potatoes forever." This is a sound theory, Mel.
Okay, good. I'm glad we talked about this. It is canon now.
Listeners, if you're still here, thank you for sticking around for that. Any closing thoughts, Anna, about any theories that you have, Fantastic Beasts, anything that you'd like to say before we move on to our game?
Well, I would simply requote an old saying from back in the Potter days that no theory is safe, so who knows?
Yes.
I'm up for all the shenanigans.
Yeah. So are we. And we love to hear more and more theories and ideas. We cannot get enough of them.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your theories and all your history with us, Anna.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Very interesting. Now we are going to go into our game segment, which, as you all know from listening to this podcast, we are going to be playing our game, Are You Puffin' Kidding Me? And this is the game where each person has one quote-unquote fact about them that they tell to the group, and then the group must vote if that person is telling the truth or puffing with them. And then each guessing person can also ask one question of the person giving the statement. And as we do, and with all of our guests, we would like to give you the opportunity to go first if you so choose.
Okay. So, is it true or am I puffing with you? There is no room in my apartment without Harry Potter merch, and there is no day where I am not wearing some kind of Harry Potter clothing.
I think that is true. There's no way that's not true. I don't even think I have a question for you. I think I just know for a fact that that is a true statement.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, that does sound like Mel. I'm always like, Mel, how many Harry Potter shirts do you own?
I'm wearing one right now.
They're never the same ones either. I feel like she owns so many.
I do.
I only own like three, and one of them is the pizza wizard.
Every single room in your apartment, that would mean also the bathroom has something Harry Potter related.
Ooh. I think it probably does. I believe that she has some kind of Harry Potter related item in her bathroom.
Like a print or something?
Yeah.
Who knows?
The cup she uses to brush her teeth with or something, or she has a Harry Potter themed hair dryer.
I think it's almost true.
Oh, okay. You think we're caught on a technicality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much true, but not every single room. And wearing everyday Harry Potter clothes.
Mel, you do that, so you can't even say anything about that.
Okay, that part could be true.
Or like a sweatshirt that says something Harry Potter related on it, or socks, maybe.
Oh, I'm actually also wearing your Thestral socks that I got for Christmas from you.
Oh, the Thestral socks. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Mel's like, okay, yeah, everything but my pants right now.
Now that I think about it. Okay, Juliana goes with, it's true.
Yes.
I'm gonna say it's not true.
Okay. So, Anne, what is the verdict?
It's true.
Aha!
Damn it.
Yeah. I have a Weasley clock in my kitchen. I have my brooms and books in the living room. A big Marauders map in my bedroom. And of
course, do you have something in your bathroom?
Yes, I have a soap dispenser. I have... I have towels.
There are plenty of Harry Potter things you can have in a bathroom. You could also have like a shower curtain that's Harry Potter themed. I know that's people who have that too.
Yeah. And I have a board where I hang my keys that says Alora Mora in my hallway.
Cute.
Okay. I should have gone by that our guests usually tell the truth, especially if they're Hufflepuffs.
Yeah, Hufflepuffs have a hard time lying.
Oh, yes, I can't lie.
Yeah, the Slytherins we've had on here have no problem lying.
No.
No problem at all.
Okay, speaking of potatoes earlier, I actually just remembered something. And I actually, as a kid, didn't like potatoes. And only later discovered that they do taste very awesome. And now I'm very much addicted to potatoes and I can just eat only potatoes.
I don't know how you expect me to think that this is false. I don't know what game you're playing, Mel.
Have no question.
Why did you not like potatoes as a kid?
I'm very particular about my food, as everyone knows by now.
Yeah.
And I actually have several food items that I didn't like as a kid at all. And now I love them. And for example, Brussels sprouts is one of those, especially with potatoes. Sprouts. But as a kid, I really didn't like it. I didn't like the consistency of them. Might also just be my mother's cooking, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I really didn't like them as a kid, but now I love it.
This is just such an absurd statement for you to make, Mel. I feel like to make this statement, you're going to think that I feel like your thought process was, I'm going to give this statement because Juliana, there's no way she's going to say that I did not like potatoes as a child. But then in reality, you're not going to like potatoes as a child. I feel like I'm at a loss no matter what answer I give.
Maybe that's my point.
I know. This is very mean. I thought I was the half Slytherin.
And you know how much I love potatoes.
I know. This is why this is such a mean statement, because this is just contradicting everything I know about you. It's making me question my life choices, question what is the meaning of life, what is a potato? Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
If you still need a moment, maybe Anna has a question or wants to let us know what she thinks.
Would you like to grill Mel for a minute so I can think about what I would like to do with the rest of my life?
I mean, I work with kids, so I know that kids can be very particular and picky about their foods, and I have plenty of first and second graders who don't like potatoes at lunch, so to me, it sounds very plausible.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. It sounds like it's plausible, but then knowing Mel, it sounds like this goes against her character on the whole. I'm going to say that this is true, because I feel like your line of thinking with this was, there's no way Juliana's going to believe that this is true, and she's going to say that it's false. And I'm going to say, no, this is true. You did not like potatoes as a child, but now they are literally the air that you breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also say it's true.
Okay. Well, you're both wrong. I always loved potatoes. I am a potato. They were my favorite, especially with spinach. If you would mix spinach and potato and mash them up, I would inhale it. I would be done in 2 minutes. A big plate. I loved potatoes. Ugh. And I still do.
Yeah. No, I can't really. I don't think I've ever put spinach in potatoes.
Oh, it's so good.
But I can't really speak, though, because I was the kid who, like, my mom would make mashed potatoes and I would mix mustard into them. That's good.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. I'm a weird person. I know that.
Yeah, I don't like potatoes at all, so.
Oh, potatoes, spinach, and then Anna will know what muggy is.
Yes.
I have no idea what that is.
I still love that today, so. Juliana.
Yes. So my statement is, I have made it a general rule to not tell my mom before I get any of my tattoos and to wait until after I have the tattoo to let her know that it exists on my skin.
That is exactly what one of my friends, Julia, does. Yeah. She is an adult of over 30 years and still does never tell her mom, only afterwards. So this could be well true, and your mom herself has a tattoo, actually.
No, she doesn't.
No?
The only other person in my family who has a tattoo is my sister Maria. I'm the only one with tattoos. Even within my cousins. None of my cousins even have tattoos. That's just free knowledge that I'm sharing.
Why do you tell her only afterwards?
My mom is not a huge fan of tattoos. As I mentioned, I'm the only one in my even extended family, and I have like 20 cousins with tattoos, except for my sister who has one. Other than that, no one else in my family has tattoos. My mom is not a fan of when I get these tattoos. It's kind of growing on her, but my family is very, when they found out I had tattoos, they're like, can you cover it up with your wedding dress?
I'm going to call your mom now.
Yeah, I mean, go for it.
That's a tough one. I will say you're puffing with us.
Is she getting angrier with each tattoo that you're adding?
No, she's actually getting a little bit more chill with it, because she's just kind of accepting the fact that, like, slowly, that this is just something that Juliana does, but it's still something that at least low-key upsets her.
It is so difficult, because I know quite a bit about your family and the way they are. Anna says it's not true or true?
Not true.
Not true. I will say it's true.
Okay, so it is not true. I didn't tell her about the first one, but the other ones I ran by her the other time. I've harassed her to the point where she's just like, fine, Juliana gets tattoos. And she's like, that's cute. Like, grudgingly. You have to think, Mel. She wrote this out for me. That's her handwriting.
Yeah. You know. Oh, that's why I'm thinking that she had one. Yeah. She wrote that for you.
Which you should have known, Mel. It's on my arm. She wrote that out.
Okay, so Anna gets a point.
Yay!
And I don't get any points. Yay! I love this game. Okay, so Anna made 1 point and Juliana made 1 point.
Yes!
So our guests are continuously leading with 28 points.
Woohoo!
And we are actually coming to a close very soon in March, so it's not long anymore. A couple episodes left with guests to collect more points. We will never catch up.
No, we won't. No.
And I will have a hard time catching up to Juliana. I have to do very well in the next episodes. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble. So the guests are leading with 28 points. Juliana is in second place with 17 points. And I'm on third place with 13 points. Actually, 13 is my birthday day date number.
Thingy. Yeah, I can't wish Mel a happy birthday right now because then I'm cursing the world. I didn't do it, Mel. I said that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to right now. I have to wait until the day of and then I'm allowed to.
Yes, that's right.
Otherwise, I curse things. So, okay. Well, that was very fun. Thank you for playing with us, Anna.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So what we're going to do next is we're going to hand our podcast over to our favorite badger, Buttercup. So Buttercup, what is our question of the week?
This week, we want to hear your favorite Fantastic Beasts 3 theories. Have you found any, or have you come up with some of your own? Or would you also join Grindelwald's side, just like Mel, for the secret bread recipe that you must have? Bread. Okay, please send us in your ideas, your theories. We want to hear everything. And now we are going back to the girls, to the episode. Have fun!
Thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. Anna, thank you so much for joining us for this fun episode. And if listeners want to find you, where can they interact with and check out what you're up to?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram as @realfishy, or if you wanna check out my Harry Potter page on Instagram, it's @HufflepuffAlumni. All together, no spaces, written small.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Anna, that you were on and that you are such a loyal listener and
always
commenting everywhere. I mean, it's so nice to have you around and having actually the opportunity to properly chat with you. That was great. So thank you for supporting us on Patreon as well.
Yeah.
Which we, by the way, haven't announced.
Oh, yeah. Anna, would you like to talk about the charity that we're going to be donating to for the month of January? Because it was actually a choice made by you as to where we're going to donate to. So would you like to speak about that briefly and why you chose that organization?
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys for inviting me and having me on. It was a blast. The charity I chose is called SOS Kinderdörfer. It's a worldwide organization, but mostly German-based. It's an organization that provides care for children in like family-like environments and is basically an option to foster care.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So that's where our Patreon donation goes to this month. So thank you everyone for being part of that and for you. You being part of that. I'm still supposed to record another podcast later. I don't know
how. And Mel's already losing her crap. Oh boy. And yeah, again, thank you for just interacting with us and being so active as a podcast listener. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah. So, listeners, if you would like to get in contact with us here at Popcast, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at PopcastPod. We are also on Facebook at Facebook.com/Popcast and TikTok at Popcast. You can send us an email with all of your Fantastic Beasts 3 theories or maybe some love for Anna at PopcastPod@gmail.com. And you can also support us just like Anna has done over at Patreon.com/Popcast and get exclusive things like bloopers, extra little bits and things that we do, stickers, and also helping us to donate. If you'd like to do us a solid, you can rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, and you can also newly rate podcasts over on Spotify.
Yes.
It's just a star rating. It doesn't include comments or anything like that, but you can go ahead and drop us a 5-star review if you'd like, and that just helps us out and helps us get to more listeners' ear holes. And we always love infecting people's ear holes with podcasts.
That just sounds so wrong when you say ear holes. Already in the last episode, I was like, why is she saying ear holes?
Because it's funny and I like it. Okay, so until next time.
That's your line.
To do it. Know what, Anna, do you want to say stay puffy?
Okay.
Okay,
here, let's do it again.
So until next time,
stay puffy.
and Badgeron.
Yay! Woo! Okay, awesome.
That was fun.
I loved it.